Well, it has been a good day, and it has gotten dark on us, hasn't it? I think this is the first time I've ever preached at Katy in the dark. Because I haven't been here with you on the midweek services, and it's always been daytime when we started. Might have been dark when we got done, but it was daytime when we started. But anyway, hope everybody's had a good day. I think it's been a great weekend, all of the activities and all the buzz around West Park, it's an encouragement, and we just need to do more of it. You know, most of us in this world in which we now live, most of us, from time to time, sooner or later, we're going to experience disappointment. And I suppose there's no area that brings greater disappointment for some than that of being a parent. The risk that parents take when they bring that tiny, helpless, lovable bundle of joy into this world, the risk really cannot be calculated. There's no formula to put to it. There's no equation that's going to tell you how it's going to all turn out. People like to think about the joy, and they pass around the feeling of success, but very seldom does anybody ever tell young parents, they never remind you that you probably picked up the greatest joy of your entire life, but at the same time, you may have grabbed hold of the worst agony that you're ever going to face. Because in becoming a parent, you just don't really know what the road's going to bring, where it's going to end. We can understand why if a parent doesn't attend Bible school, doesn't attend church, doesn't come to midweek services, doesn't try to live the right kind of life in any way. We can understand when that child goes wrong sometimes. We don't justify it, but we can understand it. And we can understand how he brings pain to a parent's heart. But when a parent, and maybe even both of them, come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and extra Bible classes, and they participate in every activity, and they try their very best to be the right example, and they live the right kind of life, and then that child goes away into a far, far distant country and brings tragedy to their life. It's difficult sometimes to accept that. It's difficult to watch that and not be discouraged. And indeed, many parents through the years have found themselves in that parental role of saying, why did this happen to me? How can God let this happen to me? How can God let me suffer like this? It's not fair. And it certainly doesn't appear to be fair. But you know, I think it's said many times, and it is said, and it's proclaimed, thinking that God doesn't understand that feeling. That God doesn't understand what's going on, and in reality, He does. Because you see, God is the greatest wounded parent of all time. When you think about it, when God created man and woman, put them in the garden, He made Himself a parent. He took on the parental responsibilities of the entire world. Jesus' favorite term for God was Father. God was the Father not just of the Jews, but of the Gentiles as well. To every man, woman, boy, girl, to every race, language, color, God is the Father. He's the Father. I love the words that Andrew read for us just a moment ago, and the words of the psalmist David in the 103rd Psalm, beginning with verse 13. When he says, like a father has compassion on his children, he remembers that we are dust. What the psalmist is saying, what David is saying, is that God sees us as a father sees his children. A father looks at his children and he sees them a lot smaller than he is. A lot weaker physically than he is. Not nearly so mentally developed. And there is nothing but compassion that flows from a heart for a child who is trying so hard and maybe not doing so well. God loved like a father. In the old law, the Old Testament, he loved and cared like a father. He said, now farmers, when it comes time for harvest time, when it comes time to bring the crops in, he said, don't take all of the grain from the fields. Don't glean all of the grapes from the vineyards. But he said, leave some around the edges. Leave some there. Leave some everywhere, all over the fields, in the vineyards. Because he said, the fatherless and the widows, they're going to need something. Those that don't have, they'll need something. And he said, they can come by your fields. They can come by your vineyards and they can get it. God was that kind of a father. He was looking out for his children that way, and he loves his people. And he cared for them compassionately in his laws and in his provisions. But it wasn't all pleasure for God. In fact, throughout the Old Testament, God's heart bleeds for his children. We see, first of all, he compares himself to a husband. God says to Israel, who was his wife, he said, how could you do this to me? How could you go after others who say they love you? How could you leave me? The love of your young life. You were my bride of your young life. How can you go away from the cords of love that you've had and that have held you to me and me to you? Then he said, how can you treat me like rebellious children and turn after false gods on every high hill, under every green tree? God said, you bow down to worship them, and you are unfaithful to me. There's no need to talk to God, the Father, about what it's like to have your children reject you. He understands it. He knows. No need to talk to God about what it's like to have a son leave home and say, I don't care what you've done. I don't like your way of life. I'm not you, Dad. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to be somebody else. God understands that. The story of the cross is nothing more than the culmination of the broken-hearted father who had to give his only begotten son to redeem the sins of the world. I suggest to you, God understands the feelings of being a wounded parent. He lived it with his people. And you know, stranger than that even, Jesus knew the feelings of a rejected parent as well. You say, well, now wait a minute. Jesus never married. And that's true. That's exactly correct. From all the evidence that we have in the Bible, he never married. But yet, if you'll listen to the speeches and the conversations sensitively that Jesus speaks, there's several times you'll hear the echoing tender sound of a father Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. You hear a parent, the parent who would say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather you to myself as a hen, a parent, as a hen gathers her chicks, the children, under her wings, but you weren't willing. You scorned me, you walked away, you turned your back, you would not." The tears flowed from Jesus' eyes because he knew what it was. He knew the feeling to have his lifestyle rejected by those who were like children. Have you ever wondered how Jesus knew the story of the prodigal son and could tell it with so much emotion, so much detail? Man had two sons. The older one stayed at home. The younger one said, "No, I'm going off to a far country." And he takes all of the inheritance, all of the things that were that belonged to him that he was going to get, and he goes into the far country and he wastes it. He loses it. He throws it away. And then he finally comes to himself, and he came trudging up that old road that led back to the old home place. How did Jesus know what it was like to be the father who was waiting there in the story? How did he know the emotion of a father looking down the road every afternoon in the cool of the afternoon, hoping that this is the day my son comes home? Can this be the day? How did Jesus know that? Oh, it could be that he just made it up. He was a good storyteller. Could be that he was sensitive and felt his way into other people's feelings. Maybe he had seen many a son in his hometown of Nazareth that had been a boy that wanted to go away and came home a ragged beggar. I don't know. It's possible. It's possible this boy, Jesus, grows to manhood, and at an early age, as he's coming into his manhood, it's possible his earthly father, Joseph, died. We don't know this. We can't prove this, but it's very interesting that Joseph fades away, fades out of the record of the New Testament rather quickly. And you don't find any existence of Joseph. Just very well may have been that Jesus, as the oldest son, had to help raise the other kids at home. That's happened a lot of times. Maybe he served. It wouldn't surprise me if he had to serve kind of as a surrogate father if Joseph wasn't around. Maybe he knew what it was like to watch the younger siblings in the family. Maybe he watched them get into things they ought not to get into, climbing up the foothills, hoping they didn't get hurt along the way, and seeing them come home wounded. I don't know. But maybe that's how he understood and was able to tell the story of the prodigal son and do it so well. We know he knew what it was like to be the shepherd that was smitten. Scripture says the flock was scattered. Everybody went away and left him alone, and even his closest, innermost disciples, they left too. He knew that rejection. He felt that rejection like a father. Even the Apostle Paul knew the feeling. And he didn't marry either, of course. As far as we can tell, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, "I've got the right to take a believing wife like Peter does." But evidently, he never did. Apparently, he didn't. But Paul knew what it was like to be a father. Because he said to Timothy, the young preacher, he said, "You are my own true child in the faith. You're my spiritual child, Timothy." And it was a good experience. It was one that Paul enjoyed. But he felt the sad times too. He took Demas with him. And he had to write, he said, "Even Demas has forsaken me." He took John Mark with him. He said, "John Mark, turn back." He worked with the Corinthian church, and they did every conceivable sin in the book to break a father's heart. Paul wrote to them and he said, "Listen, Corinthians, you have lots of guides, but you have only one father." And he said, "That's who I am. I appeal to you as a father appeals to his children." That's what he told the Corinthian brethren. The Galatians, he wrote to them and he said, "I ask of you, I beseech you, as a father in travail for you again." He said, in the labor pains of having to go back and do it all over again, Paul said, "I plead with you, Galatian folks, Galatian brethren, I beg you, get away from the old law. Come back to Jesus Christ and grace and faith, and don't go back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world." Paul knew what it was like to be a wounded parent. To spiritually beget somebody and then to watch them turn away. To watch them and feel them reject your values and trample them underfoot. And to say, "I don't care. I don't care, Dad. It's different now." Nobody does that anymore. Nobody thinks like that anymore. It's my life and I've got a right to live it, and I'll do it my way. Those are the speeches that wounded parents have heard through the years. You know, God took a real chance when he created Adam and Eve in the garden and he placed them there. It was a real chance. He could have done it differently. God could have made a handy-dandy robot that never would have disappointed him in any way. He could have made a robot that had a push-button programmable screen on it. And he could have programmed in how many hugs he wanted, and how many kisses he wanted, and how many kind words that he wanted, and how much loving and good things that could be accomplished. He could have programmed that in, and had he done that, he'd have never had to put up with the mess this world is in. That's what an inventor does. But that's not what a father does. A father and a mother bring a child into the world and they lovingly nurture and care for that child. And they hug them and they kiss them and they embrace them and they teach them and they train them, and then they hope for the very best. Pray as hard as they can pray. And then they just have to kind of stand back and see what happens. It takes a mighty strong person to let go, to relinquish the grip. But God did it. That's what he did when he created man and woman. And he's willing to be wounded as you have been wounded. But he understands it. Don't ever think he doesn't understand it. He understands when things don't always work out well for you with your children, because he's lived it himself. Because you see, children are individuals and they get to do what they want to do finally. God's taking a chance with you this evening. He's taking a chance with me. He said, "I'm going to leave them free. I'm going to let them have free will choice." And they may obey me. They may not. They may go to heaven. They may be lost. But you see, the choice is yours. The choice is mine. Because God is a loving parent who is willing to be wounded. He's willing to take the risk so that we have the opportunity to make the choice. To make the choice to do what's right. And to get credit for doing it. Because He is a loving Father that wants each of us to dwell eternally in heaven. He's the greatest of all wounded parents. And He's felt it all.